Lady Shear and Chayvus al Vavos, Shar Chesh ben HaNefesh, it's Sunday afternoon. Sunday, Beis Adar Aleph, Tov Shinayin Dalet, Shar Chesh ben HaNefesh, Sunday. Okay, we're learning Chayvus al Vavos, Shar Chesh ben HaNefesh. And we're in the middle actually of number 14, things to think about. So number 14 says to think about that Hashem's your friend. Hashem's your best friend, and therefore how it would be fitting if you really felt that Hashem's your friend, there would be a reciprocal feeling. He quotes a very famous pasuk in Mishlei, "Kamayim haponim laponim, ken leiv adam laadam," where if you want to make a friend, you exude friendship to that person, and it's reciprocated. It's maybe not at first, but after a while, the person's defenses break down. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech describes in a different place of Chavis Halvavis. I spoke out last week. In a different place of Chavis Halvavis, he actually gives this as a specific etzah. If you're not getting along with someone, and it's a neighbor, it can happen to. Sometimes it could be a spouse. So you want to be kona their friendship. It says in Pirkei Avos, Kenei L'Chacha there. So the Chavis Halvavos gives this as an Eitzah. I believe it's in Shar HaBitachon. We're about to be up to there because we're discussing relationships now in Shar HaBitachon. So he says you invest in the relationship and it sort of bounces back. So that's what he says here about Hashem. To think how that's appropriate with Hashem, and to think how Hashem was our best friend. And sometimes it's hard, because he's talking even about Klal Yisrael. So we have either memories, or we say, what about the Holocaust? You know, certainly in history, the Holocaust, and then you say, what about Medinas Yisrael? That's an amazing nace, that after 2,000 years, Jews have returned to Eretz Yisrael. Around half the Jews in the world live here, and with all of its flaws, but it's Eretz Yisrael, and Torah is thriving here like it's thriving nowhere else in the world. So history is history. B'derech Klal, the very fact that we survived the Golus, are surviving the Golus, it's still going on, but we're surviving it, is cited as a huge nace, right, by the Aruch HaShulchan, a famous Yaivitz, that's the biggest nace of all. Chavis HaLodah said it, actually, we learned in Shar HaBechina, that is the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chavis HaLodah both say that this is the greatest testimony to the one of the, that's a fantastic testimony to the existence of Hashem, and that the Goyim gnashed their teeth at this, that the Jewish people survived all their enemies and were thriving. There have been low spots, there have been high spots, but as Rabbi Victor Milozatzal points out, the standard of living of Jews were always higher than the Goyim, even when they were in Golus. And you never had a Jewish maid working for a Polish lady, but you always had Polish ladies working for Jews, always, even when they were in Poland. They had, maids cleaning the house, but Jews didn't clean houses by the Goyim. So remember that. And now we're up to the paragraph. I assume it's a paragraph in most printings. Uvahashlamas inyan zeh. We started this actually last week. That to get a complete picture, if you would know that this person that's befriended you also befriended your father. I even said the people that took in my father, Olav Shalom, when he came from Shanghai, they took him in, they took care of him, they found him a shidduch. And so certainly your feelings of reciprocity would be greatly even enhanced and increased. Someone that was friends and helped my father, avos avulseinu, certainly chayovim anu lizkarlo eso ahava bekibudo v'yahavoso kamo shomra chocham rei echa v'reya avicha al tazov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was certainly that, because it's all, we're eating the fruit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's relationships with Hashem. Baboriyus Borech Mazkir Lonu Bris Avoseinu Hashkachoso Oleinu Ba'avuram. It's because we are their descendants. Avraham Avinu was the chosen one because he developed when he developed. So Vayivchar Bo'u Bezaro Achrov, it says. So it said the chosen people will come from you. But what we really are living off of is Schus Avos. Ulahakim Briso Imohem, Kamoshamar, Mishamaros, Ashfua, Shenishbala Avoseichem, Babharbe Bazet. Many, many phrases in Pasuk, in the Psukim, in the Torah, talk about that Hashem's friendship, as it were, was with our Avos. And therefore, when we say, oh, I have a best friend, and we want to develop these feelings of reciprocity, so we should realize and be aware of that it's not just our best friend, but it's someone that befriended our fathers and our fathers' fathers and got us to where we are today. It's like I said, like something like I have to have tremendous feelings of gratitude and love and friendship towards the people that took my father and Abba Shalom in, took him in, found him a place to live, read him a shidduch, that's my mother, Abba Shalom. And that, so I'm a product of that. Now he says, he talks very sharply, V'anu, because Hagdolah does not mince words. If we, this is what you have to think about. And if you don't have these now to think about it, this is a wonderful class, I admit it. It's a fantastic class. But as I've said many times, it's pretty worthless. If you just, this is the class, and then we go outside, me, myself included, and we, you know, okay, what time is class next week? So, there's something, all these things are up to number 15, 14, there are 30 of them all together, and they're things to think about. One of the chesronos of this door, the last door, what's getting worse and worse, and because of media, and because of the ease of portable music and portable shiurim and portable everything and phone apps. Really, this all takes away from the thinking process. And that's why attention spans have shrunk and thinking. People don't like to think. They get headaches. They get headaches. You say, you know, you give someone something to think about either. So there's a lot of, the breadth of knowledge is breathtaking. The breath, B-R-E-D-T-H, B-R-E-A-D-T-H, is breathtaking, B-R-E-A-T-H. But the depth, it's shitchias, a lot of it's shitchias, and it's a problem. It's a problem, Rabbeim see it, in Torah you see it, even see in the Sfarim that are coming out, I told you the rule, like Reader's Digest Sfarim. They sum up the sugya beautifully, and they make it organized, but people don't learn anymore, you know, to learn a tshuvas noy de bihuda, if you've heard of noy de bihuda, that goes on for like easily 30, 40 pages. Who learns a noy de bihuda? They don't even want to learn a shach anymore. They don't even want to learn a Mishnah Berurah anymore. They want to learn kitzur Mishnah Berurah or a summation of the Mishnah. It's a problem. Anyway, getting the Chazal Vavus wants us to think. And I'm saying this because the next paragraph is like very harsh. He says, if you would really think about what I just said, you would be so embarrassed at the fact that you don't have these feelings of love for Hashem. For Anu, Kasha lo tiftach nafshenu alav. This is like, so he really puts it down very clearly. He says, if you think about this, how Hashem has been there for you, for Klal Yisrael, for you, for every individual. Hashem has been there for you in so many millions of ways, billions of ways for Klal Yisrael, millions of ways. You know, you want to wrap your mind around the number, so you say thousands of ways. It's also billions of ways for every individual, because every breath we take, every swallow we take, every time the eye blinks, there's a nace going on with blinking, right? That accomplishes something, eyelashes, everything. It's mind-boggling how everything's a nace. So, and that's Shar HaBechina, you know. If we don't have this bitachon in Hashem, we don't think we can rely on Him, even though He constantly showers us with good things. The tismo chalchasto, relying on His goodness, because He only wants what's good for us. We focus on things that are not the way we want them to be. That's what the Chayim Chavod said in the beginning of Shara Bechina. That is a very human problem, that we focus on the minuscule amount of things that are problematic, and they're problematic for our good. But we forget, like the child, he gets everything from the parents. They give him everything. A child, we give our children everything. And then he wants to eat a piece of candy before he goes to sleep, and you don't give him, so I hate you, mommy. You're the meanest mommy in the world. And to think, do we treat Hashem that way? We laugh, but the question is, do we treat Hashem that way? So if we don't rely on Hashem's chesed, the tanua, and are emotionally moved, li'ahavaso, to love Him, and because of that gratitude, that feeling of gratitude, want to reciprocate, right? This is our avodas Hashem is one big thank you. That's such an amazing phrase. It means we daven. A normal person, if you would think about this and contemplate it and turn it over in your mind, how Hashem is constantly showering us with good things, whether we have to look into our history, or whether we have to think about our biology, or we have to think about the laws of nature, or we have to think about that we're Jewish, however we do it, if we would think about, so we would, if we're not, like he's in the middle of a sentence, if we don't feel that we can rely on Hashem to do the right thing for us, and we don't feel love towards Hashem, and we don't feel that we want to serve Him because that's the way we say thank you, and we're not ready to daven to Him. That's such a, these four words are, you would not, it's an amazing phrase. What does the phrase mean? It says, if you learn Chayvus Halvavus, this phrase is saying that someone who loves Hashem and is aware of Hashem's goodness would automatically, so to speak, automatically turn to Him in prayer. Because what's prayer? You talk to Him, you say, help me out. You've helped me till now, and you've done for me, and I need this now, and please help me. That's such a natural thing. But if you feel like, I can't daven, sometimes people feel like sosam tefilosi, it says in Eicha, tefilos are blocked. Hashem is not. How can you say that? For the fnei Elokim nishbol sichenu, if we're not ready to rely on Hashem's goodness, and we're not moved by love for Him, because of this number, cheshbon number 14, that Hashem's our best friend, and we're not ready to daven to Him. So he says, Kama tevenu ava, it is such a manifestation of a stubbornness, a grossness, a coarseness, coarseness, a coarseness, for arpenu kosha, and a stubbornness, the emunosenu mu'uta, it really is a lack of emuna. It really is, he says. We don't like to call it that. You say, I'm a believing Jew. I believe in Hashem, of course. He says, if you're not aware, if you don't think about and you don't want to realize Hashem's constant chesed with you, and you're not ready, therefore, automatically to turn to Him in prayer when you need something, and you're not ready to serve Him, and you're not ready to love Him, there's something wrong with us, with you, with the person that is. It's a stubborn person, a coarse person, a person who doesn't really have emunah. He could say the word, he could say all the words of davening, he could say even Adon Olam. When push comes to shove, he doesn't. I'll give you a simple example. If we have a headache,
So what do? Take an aspirin, right? Advil, right? That's very normal. We're a little worse, so we take a stronger medicine. You know. If it's worse, you go to a doctor. Take antibiotic. If Chas V'Shalom it's even worse, then we daven. We should daven by the aspirin also. And many people do.
Does he writes on to say, right? He writes on to say, Esek Zalila Rafua.
Maybe I have some words wrong, but something like that. What? Okay. You take too many medicines. How can we know it by heart? Yeah? Then you're not allowed to take a Shabbos. What?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Really? Okay, good. At least you're consistent. If it's a medicine and you say to eat ratzon, so you don't take a Shabbos. Okay, good. Anyway, he doesn't mince words. He's saying, where's your emunah? Do you believe this or not? How could you not love Hashem if you really believe all these things that are true? That are really reality, you know? People say be practical, but the real practicality is to believe that, well, is to believe because Hashem is reality. So you believe in that, the reality of Hashem. And Mamela, you're going to love him and feel gratitude. The problem is we don't think. Right? That's what he's trying to get us to do. But Chamonu Koshim, and it's so difficult for us. No, it doesn't mean it's difficult to do. We're so hardened. Lehimoshech Acher Ha'emes. Because I don't know why. Either our minds have atrophied, or maybe we don't want to. The truth is, we could all speculate. It could be we leave ourselves very vulnerable. If we face the stark reality that everything we have is from Hashem, and He's good to us, and He showers us with goodness, and therefore we owe Him a debt of gratitude, it leaves us very vulnerable. So it's really that ego, that sense of self that says, I'm in control of my destiny. I want to be in control. I want to control what I do. And the idea that I'm just, that someone else is controlling my life is very disconcerting to us. That's what I think. So it's hard for us. And we're not thinking about all these things that I'm telling you to think about. How he was so kind and he, to our fathers and grandfathers and great grandfathers. If he wasn't kind, we wouldn't be around to tell the tale. We're not ready to repay Hashem our debt of gratitude. And he promised us, we believe the Torah is true. He promises us that things will work out. There'll be a Yeshua. You're not ready and you're not holding by it and you're not thinking about it and you're not suffused with gratitude and you don't believe that the bumps in the road are for your own good, even after Hashem like just the very fact that He created us should be overwhelming. If you dance, as I say, you know, the Breslovers are the normal ones, we're the crazy ones. We should also go dance in the street full of gratitude and love of Hashem. And this is the whole paragraph. If you don't realize that and you don't think about it, then the last words, Nevosh, should be embarrassed. We're not even Rishon, he's not calling us Rishon. He's hitting us much deeper. Not Rishon, nobody's doing Averis. He's not talking about someone doing Averis. He's talking about someone who's not in love with Hashem. That's really the right way to say it. Someone who's not just totally enraptured with Hashem and Hashem's goodness and Hashem's Gevura and Hashem's Chochma and Hashem's Chesed. And he doesn't repay Hashem, and he wants to reciprocate. It's embarrassing. That's really the It's a perfect word, a beautiful word. It's not you're a Russia, and you're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment to yourself. This is like someone that's not knock your toe. Someone that doesn't closes his eyes to everything going. It's like a child. This is a child. Again, the best marshal is a child with parents, because the parents give the child everything. Because when he was born, he was so helpless, and he was helpless for a good couple of years. Then when he becomes less helpless, he becomes more helpless, because his needs grow, and he needs schooling, and he needs more clothing, and he needs more sophisticated food, and then he starts having friends, and he needs shmira from friends, and he needs chinuch, and then he has to go to school, and he needs a shmira from the school. My sister Rachel, who's a menahelis for 30, 40 years already. She's a principal in a school. She's great. She's great. So she has the kids come out okay, despite what we do to them. Despite school, they come out okay. So he says it's embarrassing. Like a child that's like Boyd and his parents and doesn't want to be macker. Everything they do for him. We know how we feel as parents, you know. When the child shows no indication of thanks, and we don't even demand thanks. What do we? We don't. It would be nice to get an acknowledgement. Not even for us. We don't need it. This mom is like Hashem. Really, the best example of Hashem is parents. We don't need their thank you. What's it worth to us? But we want to feel like we raised mention. We raised a mensch, and a mensch is makir tov. And we want acknowledgement, so we should feel like we raised the person with hakara, with midos tovos, with a sense of gratitude. So nevosh was embarrassing, and then he says, "Hocheitz achi, wake up, my brother, min hashena hazos. If you don't find yourself in love with Hashem, the goal." Now he sort of explains why it's like that and how it got to be that way. Sort of. He doesn't say it explicitly, but let's learn it, and I'll tell you what I think he means. The goal may alipcha, remove from your heart. We harden the heart like Paro. Right? Again, we're afraid. This is my theory. We're afraid to be emotional. We're afraid to open up, because then we would really feel dependent. Just look at the child. As the child grows up, he wants to show he's independent. Right, and then when he's 2.5 years old, he loves saying no. Like, he loves it. Because he feels like he has a daya, right? So we're laughing because he's totally dependent on the parents. Anyway, but he wants to feel, like a mensch, so he says no. The goal may alibcha es mosach yitzrecha, the covering of your, it's the yitzahara, is blocking our hearts. We would naturally emote these feelings, and the Yetzirah like blocks it, puts a covering on our heart that we don't feel. Ashenosech alecha, achehivdil beincho beinor sichlecha. So it blocks out what should be just the most basic, normal understanding of life, of the bria of Hashem. Like it blocks, so we don't think about it. So he compares it, he says, but it has to start. Like it has to start. So he says, it starts with small things. The achbish, like a spider, ashayerog al ma'ora bayis. The spider, if you leave a house abandoned let's say a few months or a few years, so you can come back, there could be a spider web blocking out the whole light coming in the window from the sun, from the daylight. He says, but it didn't start with that thick covering. It started with a few strands. And if you would have knocked down the strands then, it would have been easy to knock down, because there's only a few. And it wasn't blocking, that much sun. It's just a few strands. But that's how it starts. Let's say it starts with you do a mitzvah, but you're not, you don't do it besimcha. That will be the marshal. Maybe that's the equivalent or something like that. You don't do it with your full heart. You don't do it besimcha. You're not grateful. He says, so the Torah is starting to, you did a mitzvah, and you were Yotzei, but the Yetzirah, this is my example of what would be the first strands of the spider. So the light is not being blocked off yet, you did the mitzvah, but this, it's starting. And if you don't take care, if you're not sensitive to it, you're not aware of it, you're not sensitive to it, well, you could just now very easily get rid of it, so then it keeps on more and more and more, and all of a sudden it's totally blocked. Your heart is totally blocked, and your connection to Hashem is totally blocked. V'chasha yasmid, as it goes on and on, yaved gets thicker and thicker, v'yistom, and then finally you're so sane, the or from coming in, atche yimna ha-gos, or Hashemish al-habayis, it could stop sunlight from coming in. Uvetchilas ha-rigoso, and when it started weaving its web, u'cholush v'dak ad-ma'od. B'chol ha-she yasmin ha-dover, but the more it spins, yechzak v'yayove, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, v'yimna or Hashemish me'avor bo, u'me'agiyah al-habayis. So the same thing with people. At first you don't think a little about it, and you don't get excited about it. Maybe you're even besimcha, you don't get excited, then you lose the simcha, and then you do it by rote, and then you do it mitzvah sanosha melumada, and then you do it without any vestige of Avos Hashem. And before you know it, you can be doing a lot of things you never dreamt you were doing, because the Yetzirah is weaving a web, blocking our seichel, blocking our hearts, our minds, from thinking about how Hashem is there for us. That's how he acts. He doesn't jump off telling you, you know, eat a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur. He doesn't start with that. He starts with small things. It's not so bad if this, it's not so bad if that. I think it's maybe mutter in such a case. Lo yim no'acho mer oso amitius. In the beginning, it doesn't block off your vision. It doesn't block off you. You still have the right thoughts. He's starting to spin. If you would become aware and you would just knock off the strands of the spider of the web that's there now, it would be very easy to do. But if you make light of it, when you ignore that it's there, yachzak maaseyu, he'll keep blocking this thought process of avos Hashem, of thankfulness to Hashem, of simcha and doing a mitzvah. Wow, I'm able to say thank you to Hashem. V'yimna or sichelcha mimcha, so little by little and more, ultimately he'll block off. Then you'll start doing mitzvahs by rote, and then you won't have any a person. This is what happens with kids all too often. I mean, the adults maybe are socially embarrassed to go off the derech a lot of times, but kids are not, and therefore, you know, it starts off, there's no chiyus in their mitzvahs, there's no chiyus in what they do. Then they will still do it by rote, but sometimes, unfortunately, they have no feeling for it, and then they say, it's like, what am I doing? It's pretty meaningless. Truth is, it's not meaningless, as we know, because that's the secret of Nasa Vinishma. But this is a very, very real problem. That if we don't inculcate the Chovos Halvavos, and, you know, even if we just take on the Chovos Halvavos as the Bible, which I have done, as Hashem, and you think about gratitude, and that's, so it suffuses your doing of mitzvahs with meaning and purpose, and you don't have to know either you know the meaning of that particular mitzvah, or it's just a way of saying thank you to Hashem, because this is what he wants you to do. Like a fellow tells me, give me a glass of water if he saved your life. So you'll run to give him the water, and you'll understand he wants the water because he's thirsty. But let's say he just saves your life, and he gives you a chalk. He says, run and get me a glass of water and spill it out on the ground. So you say, you're going to go do it. You're going to say, how can I not do it? Like, what does he want from me already? He just saved my life. Close against someone who gives us life. Anyway, but if they don't think that, then they don't feel emotionally invested in doing mitzvahs. So they'll do it, and they'll
doing you a favor. They're doing Hashem a favor. That's what they are. That's what their mind says. I'm doing Hashem a favor. You know, he wants me to keep Shabbos. Okay, I'll keep Shabbos. He's stronger than me anyway. He's going to beat me up if I don't. That doesn't last. That's a problem. That doesn't last. Because then at some point, unfortunately, it could easily become, you know, he's going to beat me up in 60 years, but I want to enjoy myself today. So you have to invest in Chavis Alvavos, and that's what he says. And then the Yetzer Hara blocks us from thinking about these things, and it starts small, and you don't notice it. Like I said, in the beginning, it just be you don't have any simcha in doing the mitzvah or excitement. And then he keeps spinning that web, blocking off any of those feelings. I see nowadays, we don't want to think, we don't want to have feelings. We're not in touch with our feelings. A lot of chitzonius out there. Al came there for my latzulus nafshecha, save yourself. Ve'ozer belokim, ask Hashem for his help. L'tchoso me'olecha, to get rid of all these blockages. Utrach v'hishtadel, you have to work on it. There's no freebies. Teo b'or ha'chochmo v'tira amitas advorim b'ein libcha. You'll see, you'll have clarity with your mind. B'ein libcha. And then he goes on now to describe how the Yetzer Hara works. That in the beginning it's almost imperceptible, but then it grows and grows and grows. And he gives a few examples of this in the next paragraph. Ukvor moshlu kandonenu alayam ha'shalom ha'isa ha'yetzer ba'odam. Mimisholim Nechlokim and Akosov learned out from the Pasuk. This is Nosan Hanavi giving Musa to David HaMelech in the marshal of the rich person that took a keves from the poor person. This is in the aftermath of the story of Bathsheba. So Vayovo Heilech Leisha Oshir. So the guest, he gives the story of a guest. So first he calls him a guest. Vayachmo Lokachas Mitzono Mibakoro, he doesn't want to take from his own cattle, lasos l'oreach, and here he already calls him an oreach, habolo. Helech is more of a passerby, oreach is like a guest. Ve'yikach is kifsas o'ish harosh, ve'yase lo'ish habo'elov. Now this guest in Nosan Hanavi's Moshal is the Yetzer Hara, in the Nimshal. So mitchilu karo Helech, he's a passerby, v'achakach, all of a sudden he's a guest, he parks himself by you. V'acher kach karuish, and then he's ready. He's a ganza macher. V'omar or a pasuk in Tehillim, a very first pasuk in Tehillim, so probably everybody knows it. Ashrei Yosef Shalom Alach Batzas Rishoyim V'vedecha Toim Lo Amod V'Moshe V'Leitzim Yosef. So first it's Alach. That's you walk by and you get a whiff of the action. V'acher kach Omad, and unfortunately V'acher kach Yosef. That the Yetzer Hara works in increments, because he knows if he makes a frontal attack, you're not going to listen. So all of this is Chavis Aldovus's tamia, his like reaction, is like, how could it be that you don't utilize and exhibit Cheshbon number 14? Like, where's your seichel? Where's your gratitude? Where's your common sense? Where's your menschlichkeit? How could you not realize? And so that's number 14. And your fathers, and he did it for your fathers. Chashev nafshcha ochi al zev adomalo. Think about this. V'achreach osa al mash yesh bo hatzalosa. And force yourself, compel yourself, not force. Compel yourself to think. To do the things that will mean your hatzlocha. Shlomo Melech says about those who don't want to think, Anshe ra lo yovinu mishpat, umavakshe Hashem yovinu kol. Okay, let's start number 15. So we'll get to the halfway mark, maybe. So that was number 14. Number 15. Again, these are things to think about. Different ways to think about life, different ways to think about serving Hashem, different ways to think about what's meaningful in life and what's and what life's all about. Number 15 is, you ever go on a trip? Yeah, we all go on our trips. Did you? So if you went on a trip and where you're going to, there's no supermarket, or certainly no yesh. So you make plan. Everybody, you make plans. You say, this is how we're going to get there, and we're taking a long breakfast, lunch, and supper. Right? Even if you're on an overnight, the amount of planning that goes into making sure you are well equipped for the trip, a lot of work goes into it. Right? Some people are in charge of the map, figuring out the route, and you want the scenic route or you want the shortest route. And who's packing the food, and who's packing the snacks, and who's packing the snacks to eat between the snacks, and who's packing the toys, and who's packing the games, and who's packing the svarim? Oh. Yeah. So he says, how could it be that we go through life, and we don't think of life as a journey, and we don't have tzedek l'derech, we don't prepare ourselves for the trip. The chamisha also cheshbon ha'adam im nafsho, to think about the hazmanosam zonosav, to prepare what he will need for this journey, kodem hatzorech aleihem, before to prepare. Right? He'll need them at the end of the trip. You get to the place and there's no makolet there. There's no butcher store. So you have to prepare beforehand. The eni yodeya Imyamud viyichya ad eshayehona mehem. Right? He doesn't know how much he'll need, right? But he prepares just in case. He doesn't know. V'chenk shu tzorach lechaz b'derech rechoko. When a person has to go on a long journey. Mazmin en yoni halichoso kodom lachem b'yomim. So many days before, he plans his trip. He plans on, right, the different things he might need and the different thing he takes. And he projects what he will need, and he prepares himself. No one goes on a trip without being prepared for what may come up on the journey. Even if you're going to a place with their own stores, right? But you take, in case you get stuck, you take a spare tire, you take, right? You're always anticipating. You're anticipating different things. You don't want to be stuck. What is going to be there? V'achakach b'meshe yirkav. V'achakach b'meshe yirkav. Right, how you're going to get transportation. You come to a place, you go, okay, let's go. What do you mean, let's go? Oh, I forgot to rent a car. I forgot to prepare a car. Now you're sitting there, and no car. V'meshe yagiyu menatzedo, b'chevra, who's going to help you once you get there. V'machnos ha-sheyach ben kedarko. Where's their service stations along the way? You want to get out, stretch your legs, kids have to go to the bathroom. People plan these trips, right? You have maps, and you say there's this station over here, and this station over there. V'adomal is that. Right? V'eini yodeya, because a person doesn't know, even though you don't know for sure you're going to need it, right? Maybe he says it in a funny way. You don't know for sure if you're going to need it, but you plan. He gives an imagery of someone that's not going to make it to the end of the journey, so but you prepare anyway. But we have a journey that we're all going to take, he says, and we're for sure going to take this journey, and we're for sure going to need the provisions that we prepare in this world. We're going to need it for this journey, the journey to Olam Haba, to the Olam HaNeshamos. So think of it, he said again. Number 15 is to think of life as a journey, and to think of Torah, mitzvahs, and spiritual values as your needs for the journey. Every journey you take, you prepare. No one goes out on a journey unprepared. It's foolish, even if it's not even for sure, you'll go to the end. But here's a journey that everybody's going to have to take someday. You have to be prepared for it. You have to have your your victuals, you have to have your provisions to get to the next world. Asherim lanu mibrach mimenu. You, everybody's going on that journey. Velomanos mimpana velachshav betzeda. How much food do I need? How much drink do I need? How many mitzvahs do I need? How much Torah do I need? How much benodim lachaveru do I need? How much benodim lamakom do I need? How much midos tovos do I need? Right, you have to think how much provisions you need for this journey. And we're going to have to give a reckoning at the end of the journey. We're going to be asked for the receipt. We're going to need a cheshbonit. And we're going to have to go down the cheshbonit. Right? What did you do? What did you get? She'omar alav akosav, kihine hayom bo boer katanor. That's a yom hadin. Ve'echnes alayim. This is a journey. Life is a journey, and you need provisions. Vanasiya masmedes. It's constant. We're journeying our whole lives. Vahatoka tadira. We're moving. We're moving. We're going places. This situation, that situation. So I have to have provisions for every type of situation. I have to be able to cope. I'm going in the desert. I'm going in this kind of land. I'm going in that kind of land. V'aderech aruch, it's a long journey, Mitzvah Hashem, we hope. V'amargoa rachok, you can't relax, you'd like to relax, but you can't, you know, you have to keep pushing, you have to keep going. U'madua lo samlu elibeinu lizko achariseinu, how can it be that we don't think about that we're going on a journey and there's a goal, there's a finish line? Lo chashanu ala tseido leveis mo'adeinu, and we don't think about what tseido we're going to take with us. You know, when they bury, everybody's going to get buried. There's no hisasasnu ba'olam akola. We were busy. We spent our whole lives not on the tzeda l'derech. We spent that like, oh my goodness, like it's like, you know, you have a certain amount of time to prepare before a trip, and you spend it playing games. And so we'll all laugh, but that's how we live. That's what the Chassid Soloveitchik wants us to think about. Am I living my life like that funny picture that makes me laugh? I have a trip to take, and instead of making sandwiches and preparing for the trip and figuring out what the weather is going to be like and this kind of sweater or that sweater, do I need winter coats? I don't need winter coats. I need boots. I need hiking shoes. But that I sit and I play a board game. I say, let me enjoy myself now, and I'll go on the journey tomorrow. Why should I work now? So that we laugh, but he wants us to think about that. That's how a person lives, unfortunately. We left aside of lasting spiritual value. We're busy with taking care of our Yetzirah. V'azavnu avodas yotzreinu. Hoy, he says, hey, he says, huh. Lamavucha azol, such confusion. Kamahi veris, how blind we are that we don't think about this. Velashichris azol, this is like drunkenness. Kamahi chazoka. Kamo, shomer akosov, kitach me raos, enehem, me haskil libosom. Veomar shokru velo yayin, no'u velo sheikhor. They can't walk straight. Let's think about the point of life, the goal, the journey, where you're going to end up. And you have to take along provisions for the end of the journey. I'm going to a place, just to use another thing, I'm going to a place without a grocery store. Because I'm going to a place where I can't do mitzvahs anymore. So I'm going to a place where I better bring with me stuff. So they think about something. If you waste your time and you go to the place and you pull up and you don't have any provisions and there's no grocery store there, they say, no, this is a vacation resort. We don't have any food stores. This is just to enjoy yourself. That's Olam Haba. You can't, but you have to have provisions to be there. You don't have any. Just think about this. And okay, this was relatively small, number 15. But it's very powerful, and it's worthwhile to think about.